This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3251 for Monday the 18th of January 2021. Today's show is entitled, Opposing Views on Alcohol. It is hosted by Windigo, and is about 31 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Windigo and Mrs. Honeyhume discuss their views on alcohol.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio. This is Windigo, and I'm with
Mrs. Honeyhume.
And we're going to talk about how we can't agree on things. Actually, we're going to be talking about how we have very different opinions on certain subjects, many of which. But today, we're going to talk about alcohol in particular. Would you like to state your position for the record?
I am pro-alcohol.
That sounds awful. Do you want to elaborate a little bit?
I believe you should be able to partake in libations responsibly.
That sounds better. And I think alcohol is pants. I hate it. I don't understand why anyone would drink it or imbibe it or whatever. I understand like it has practical uses, and I understand the process of making it sounds fun. I have no qualms about making alcohol. But I have never been drunk, never really drank, just abstain in every form.
I have not. I have been drunk, and I drink alcohol periodically.
Yeah, and just so we're clear, like, we are opposite ends of the, like, viewpoint spectrum. But you don't...
No, I'm not an alcoholic.
You're not an alcoholic. You rarely drink.
Now, yes. But, you know, in college...
Yeah, like you've lived.
Every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes on Thursdays.
Sometimes on Thursdays.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or not, but it doesn't sound bad.
It's normal.
Mm-hmm. No, I've seen you inebriated, and that's another thing. I don't only dislike drinking or getting drunk myself. I am not fond of inebriated people or people imbibing near me. It's just the whole thing, the whole circumstance, I dislike.
But that's also because you haven't been in it. You haven't felt it, and the freedom and liberation, I guess, that comes with liquid courage, if you will.
Yeah. Well, none of that appeals to me. I don't feel like I need any extra freedom, like, chemically induced. I feel perfectly free as it is. I don't need any alterations to my personality or my perceptions.
You don't think it would help with, like, social anxiety or social situations to kind of have an edge taken off?
Maybe. It also might help me kill a man. It doesn't mean I'm looking for that kind of edge.
I'm not saying to get wasted and kill someone.
That was a facetious, like, extreme example for sure.
I'm saying to have a drink and enjoy that beverage and its delicious flavors and the little bit of, like, warmness you get in your cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that little bit of, like, I can do almost anything because it feels good.
Well, so, except for that last point, this is another thing that baffles me. None of those are related to alcohol except for the dropping of your inhibitions. And that part, I hate. I hate the thought that I could drink a beverage and all of a sudden I'm okay with doing something that's stone cold sober I would not ever do.
Like dancing.
Stay tuned, Hacker Public Radio. No, it's you're right. Maybe I would be more interested in dancing if I was drunk.
Maybe.
I don't know. None of that appeals to me. I don't want my inhibitions lowered. I have taken a lifetime to raise them exactly where they are.
But you're also missing out on flavors.
Kind of. They have non-alcoholic drinks. And often people will say, you have to try this alcoholic drink. It tastes just like this non-alcoholic thing that you like. It's like, I'll just eat a, I don't know. I have no examples right now. I'll eat a s'more if they had a s'more drink.
I don't know if they have a s'more drink. But like wine, there's nothing else that tastes quite like wine.
Mm-hmm.
Like we drink sparkling apple cider and we've had sparkling grape juice and they're very good.
Yeah, but they're fruity.
But they're fruity. They're not the same as having a wine.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's... Or rum. You know, there's... I love a spiced rum. And there is nothing else that tastes even remotely close to that.
So. I suppose. I know my grandmother makes rum balls, and I love those.
Mm-hmm.
And up until a couple of years ago, I was under the impression that she cooked the rum alcohol content out. That might not be the case. Meme might have just been keeping the kids quiet at Christmas.
So you might have consumed alcohol without realizing it.
Oh, I'm sure I've consumed alcohol before, but I've never, as to my knowledge, I've never consumed alcohol to the point where it would have any of the fancy-dancy effects that people seem to like.
Like what, besides the rum balls, what else have you had?
This is going to be super silly, but I have had a Kahlua and milk mixed drink.
Oh.
Once.
When was this?
It was on Christmas Eve with my mother.
How old were you?
I legally, I was 21.
Okay.
I don't remember when, but it was a long time ago. And I didn't feel any effects. I don't even remember how it tasted. Is it Kahlua coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it probably
it's just usually paired with chocolate, so it's like a...
Okay, so it probably tasted like I was drinking a mocha or something.
When it's paired with chocolate, it's a mudslide. When it's paired with, I think, half and half, it's a White Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Like in The Big Lebowski.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was Kahlua milk, but yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. No, but it's like, I don't think coffee liqueur tastes like coffee.
Okay.
Like, it tastes like sugary sweet better than coffee flavor with, you know, some aftertaste.
I guess. I don't know. It could be that there's this whole world of flavor that I'm missing out on. But I have coffee. I have all the other delicious foods out in the world. I don't think... And there's cooking wines and things.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've had those flavors in meals, if not, like, just a glass.
Maybe. Maybe you have.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've gotten inebriated. And mm-hmm. being the age that we are, it's different when you're older. The hangover is much more intense and almost not worth it.
Yeah.
When you're young, you can kind of bounce back and go to work the next day. Mm-hmm. But when you get old, it's like you got to plan for the whole next day to be sick.
Yeah.
And that's not worth it anymore.
No. And I'm sure that that's an experience when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone would argue that I'm losing out by not getting plastered.
No. No.
So I think our differences are just you feel that, like, on special occasions.
Yeah.
And when the moment strikes, you like to have a drink.
Yes.
And I have never had a point in time where I thought, I wish I had a drink for this, or...
Well, I think it's like one of those activities where you come together and experience. Like when we taste test food, you know, you taste the food, I taste the food, we experience it, we have a different, you know, interpretation, and some you like and some you don't, and it's like that, but in a different flavor profile, alcohol. And so it's like when you, it's like people go wine tasting, people go whiskey tasting, and and they develop a sense of understanding the subtleties and the mixes and the flavors and things like that. And it's like an experience that people do together. And that's not an experience that we have together.
Yeah, that's true. We've never shared a drink.
No.
And it, I do know that there are several people, there's some HBR contributors. I have a coworker who's, who loves whiskey and is very, very particular about the, I don't know how to describe anything. So like mouthfeel, is that a thing?
Yeah.
He has like flavor notes and all those fancy words to describe the alcohols he enjoys. I just, I have no interest. Not one bit.
Well, and that's it. I think there's a bit of like I had a glass of wine the other night and it was so good. And I know that this is, tastes so good and this is a great experience and it's enhancing, you know, this evening. And you're not even going to try that or participate in that.
Yeah.
Because it has alcohol in it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's like your line you won't cross. And I'm like, this wine is so good. You need to try this. You need to taste this. And you're like, nope.
Well, a part of it, I think, is because I'm worried I will like it.
That's
because
true.
I have a very addictive personality.
That's true.
And I drink, you know, we make a pot of coffee a day, and you have a cup.
I do.
And I have the rest. I tried Minecraft once 10 years ago, and I've played it almost every single day since. And I have never played an online massively multiplayer game.
Me either.
Because I wouldn't stop. So I feel like there's a part of me that, that doesn't know if I would handle taking a drink, like a real drink and feeling the effects.
It should be noted that I couldn't be with you if that happened. Like I grew up with an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And I could not like live with one again by choice. So
yeah, for sure.
I support you. I just don't necessarily understand it.
Yeah, no, you're not twisting my arm or anything.
No.
And I should say not many people have. Like there have been people who have been baffled. And especially when I went to England for Og Camp, the first two, people were just downright perplexed that, that was a thing. It's like, just did not occur to people. Which is fine. Like,
but that's kind of the point of this, position. Is to understand each other.
Oh, well, it's, you know, it's in my head, out, so
someone
I don't
out there is like,
it.
I get it, you know?
I'm sure. There's other people who just abstain for that, from that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And some people have, like, genetic dispositions that they're worried about, and some people are allergic.
Well, that's it. D, if he has any alcohol because he had his liver replaced when he was so young.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot. He cannot have it.
Yeah. And when you say young, it was when he was a baby, right?
Yeah, when he was a baby.
Yeah. He didn't try drinking a lot. And
No. He's not even of age yet.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows in his mind that that is not anything that's going to be able to be part of his life.
Yeah.
Because of that. So there are people that don't really have a choice.
And speaking of age, I often wonder if it's our culture in the U.S. Because the drinking age is 21, and it's something a lot of kids do as a rebellious phase in when they're in high school. We had prohibition in our country
for
a long time where it was illegal to sell, or I don't know if it was illegal to drink alcohol, but it was definitely illegal to sell it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if I'm just reacting to those stigmas.
Well, and when I was young, my parents would let us taste what they had, and we were never interested in it because mostly it was beer, and I don't drink beer as an adult. I don't find any interest in it. I know it's an acquired taste, but I don't want to take the time to acquire it. So I only drink the things that I think are tasty. And I didn't drink until I was 21.
Yeah.
I was a rule follower.
Goody two shoes.
For sure. I was like, I'm not going to, it wasn't worth the risk, you know?
Yeah.
And now as an adult, I know that the brain isn't done like forming until at least 25. So introducing any substances that are not natural, such as, you know, drugs or alcohol, before your brain is fully formed, you never know the lifelong, like, damage that could do.
That's true.
Which is what I preach to my students, because, you know, I try to tell that to them. Like, you don't know the long-term effects of the things that you are choosing to do now. So, like, just don't do it. It's stupid.
Yeah. No, part of me makes me question whether it was cultural or not.
Like, if we were in Italy and wine was served at every meal for young and old alike, maybe you would be...
No. Oh, like if I was born in Italy and raised there. So I don't know, because alcohol was a big part of my family, and not like in a problematic way. I mean, sure, some of them, but...
And that they make their own wine?
Yeah. I have a very Italian family, and the Paris Gondolas, they make their own wine every summer, and I would love to go down and do that. And that's... That's one of the best receptions to me not drinking that I've ever gotten. My mother was talking to our cousin, and they said, you should come down and make wine with us. Bring your son. And my mother said, oh, he doesn't drink. And they stopped for like maybe a split second and said, well, he's designated driver then.
But you also don't enjoy being around inebriated people.
Yeah, I really don't. And that might also be family-wise, because my family enjoyed drinking. My grandfather was a liquor distributor. Him and my grandmother always had a martini, and my mother, after he had passed away, realized that when she smelled her father, he had a very distinct smell. And it turned out that smell was gin.
Yeah.
And she realized it afterwards. And he wasn't like, if he was drunk, it didn't affect him in any way that I could detect. He was always just grandpa.
It's interesting because I, because of growing up with an alcoholic, know that day after smell on people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you had beer the night before, there's a certain smell that people have the next day. And it's like, I can tell what you were doing the other night. And I don't think it's something that the average person could probably just pick up on. But if you're used to it, you know, like your mother and the gin, and it's just, you get it, you associate it, and you understand.
Yeah. So, I do not enjoy people when they are inebriated. And part of that was because I got mostly exposed when I was younger. Not in, like, you know, when I was a child, but when I was a teenager and my friends were drinking and everyone was being stupid. And it just, there's a level of anxiety that comes up when I'm around people who are drunk because I don't know who they are anymore.
Or what they're going to do.
Yeah, I don't know there's what people are capable of.
I hear that.
And that, I think, I'm very interested in control. I like to control my surroundings. Preaching to the choir a bit.
Listen, I know how to relax sometimes, though.
Mm-hmm.
But no. When drinking alcohol, there's this point, right? First, it's like, oh, this is good. And then there's the warm fuzzies. And then there's a tipping point when you're like, you feel really good and you can do anything. And then you go over the hill and you get sloppy and you don't remember and you think you're talking quiet and you're actually talking loud, or you know, your speech is starting to slur and you don't necessarily realize it. But there's this, it's almost like a peak, like you get up to this point. When you're at that point, it feels really good. Like that's what that level of, like, before you lose control, I guess, is really intoxicating.
Yeah. None of that sounds appealing. Not any of it.
Okay. Well, it also depends on who you are, because there's, like, in my opinion, different kinds of drunks. You know?
For sure.
There's angry drunks, there's happy drunks, there's the people that think they can dance, there's the people who suddenly love everybody, you know? And, like, we played in college a lot of games, and it would seem I was getting better at the games when I was, like, getting up that peak almost, you know? I was, like I said, on top of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, feeling brave and, like, saying things to people and just super friendly. So,
yeah,
there's different types of drunks.
And it's funny that you mentioned that because I've slowly become more tolerant of being around people who have been drinking. And I think it's partially because all of the people I've been around have been more mature and maturing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe I'm getting better. I don't know. But the first time that I realized I was getting better was when we were playing Settlers of Catan. And would they be house guests? Our hosts? Our hosts were drinking. And they were a husband and wife. And the wife was very drunk. And I did not realize it because this was the first time I had met her. And you told me later how funny that was because she does not get that way around people. And the only thing that happened was she got very giggly and was very okay with trades. And her husband was taking advantage of it because he's a monster.
Yeah, no.
Hey, you want to trade me some lumber? Sure, sure.
Yeah, no, she's a happy, like, congenial person.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but especially when she has alcohol. And she's not, she's a mother of three children and a special ed teacher. And not someone that lets go a lot because she's often taking care of others.
Mm-hmm.
So to see her that way, it was like maybe the second time I had ever seen her like that in my life. And I was like so surprised. I thought it was hilarious because I was like, I can't believe she let herself go like that. She had so much fun and it was a great time.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of cool to see. And then you were like, what? I didn't realize that at all.
Yeah. I mean, she was obviously being very silly, but this is the first time I had met her, so she could have just always been that way.
No, she's a silly drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people get aggressive. I mean, everyone has their own reaction.
Yeah,
and
for
I think that experience of getting inebriated and finding out that kind of side of yourself is, I don't know, I'm not saying it's essential. It's just something that I think rite of passage or almost, you know, that people go through.
Nope. No thanks. So as the person sitting inside of my head all the time,
mm-hmm.
I am perfectly okay keeping some doors closed. Like, I don't, like, what if I'm a vile, hateful, drunk person who just goes after people for no reason? I don't want to do that.
But living in what ifs is, like, lame.
I agree.
So
let's shut that down right now.
No.
There's no what if.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, if you're in, like, a comfortable place with people that you trust.
Well, that's it. They would be the people I would not want to expose to that person. No thanks.
I guess. I don't know.
No, maybe if I was locked in a bunker.
By yourself?
Or sure.
No, getting drunk by yourself is sad.
I wouldn't be doing it every weekend or anything.
Just a one-time experience.
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't like
you
the
wouldn't
idea.
Know how you were.
We'd record it on a videotape that I could destroy later.
Hmm.
Nope. Well, you don't have a concrete bunker. Do you?
No, but someone out there might. They might offer it up at the end of this. And
this is not what I thought was going to happen during this episode.
You brought it up.
If we get, like, comments offering an undisclosed location, good grief.
Yeah. No, I just think it's a piece of the puzzle, an experience to being an adult, I guess,
mm-hmm.
that I feel like you're missing out on, and it's something that we don't get to participate in together.
Yeah. Well, we've So we've had differences in opinions on experiences in general before. Yes. Like I...
More episodes.
I argued that I didn't think live music was that big of a deal. And you've pulled me over on that one.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to add to the list.
No. We don't need a bigger list. Oh, you're actually keeping a list.
Yeah, it's a literal list.
Mrs. Honeyhume just turned her iPhone around and showed me the list, and there's 7 items on it, I think. So, yeah, I thought that was a expression, but nope.
Yeah.
You have a text file.
A literal text file, yes.
So, yeah, scratch music, that's fine.
Okay.
But, I don't think I value experiences as a whole as much as you do.
I wonder if that's anything to do with, like, the senses.
Oh, like, back to how you can smell when someone's been drunk because you just have a very heightened sense of smell, unfortunately for you.
Yeah, but, like, and alcohol is an experience in flavor and in, like, it's a whole body thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and drinking just, you drink water, you drink coffee. Like, drinking feels like a natural way to get things in your body. So this is just a way to get something in your body that makes you feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, but I wouldn't, like, the method of getting it into me isn't what's holding me up.
It's the reaction that your brain will have.
It's the reaction it might have, yeah. I don't like the possibilities. I don't like what I've seen of certain people when they're drunk. And some people are just fine when they're drunk, but no. And especially my family has a very mixed possibilities. Like, you mentioned there are some people that get angry and some people that get friendly when they're drunk. I have a pair of cousins who are brothers who are, one of them is each of those. And they're like Jekyll and Hyde. So that one of them's kind of rough and angry when he's sober, and then is the nicest guy in the world when he drinks. And then one of them is the nicest guy in the world when he's sober, and you get the picture.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. I think this is just one of those things that's going to be agree to disagree.
Oh, I would be very surprised if any of these episodes ends with, "You know what, Mrs. Honeyhume, you're right." Or, "You know, Wendigo, you've got a point." No, I think this is
We've been together 16 years.
Yeah, these are the awkward bricks that fit together just right enough to make our foundation strong.
Well, I think that friction keeps us interesting. You know, we're not...
Yes.
We're not just personalities that are melding together. We have these things that are just... We feel strongly in one way or the other, and I think that keeps, I don't know.
Oh yeah, I think I'd be of the opinion that if we didn't have these differences, one or both of us would get bored.
I would.
Yes.
I don't know if I would get bored or if I feel like my personality would push over you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not someone who would have it the other way.
Yeah.
So.
No, I could see that.
Yeah. No, I like that you kind of bump up against a grain a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Which is good for the long term.
Well, until I get aggravated, and then you laugh at my aggravated face.
That could be an episode in and of itself. And that makes me more frustrated.
Yeah.
Is the fact that you're angry funny?
No. It is not.
You're laughing next week.
You're laughing right now. About it. It's not funny. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Agree to disagree.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So do we have anything else to talk about for alcohol?
Don't drink and drive.
Oh yeah. There's no question about that.
I know, but...
Whether you like alcohol or not, do it responsibly. Of course.
Of course. Everything in moderation.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, don't drink and drive. Like, it's not worth it for you or others.
Yeah, we can find you a concrete bunker if you want.
Or, like, a taxi.
Sure.
Yeah.
Uber if you want.
Oh, that's another thing. I don't drive.
Yeah, so that'll be another episode.
So I don't have any problems if I do drink alcohol.
Yeah. There you go. Why? I can't drink. I'm the eternal designated driver.
Listen, I puked on a train once. Okay, public transportation is okay, too.
Is there a warrant out in Boston that I should know about?
No. That was a real embarrassing night. That's another thing. Alcohol makes good stories.
No.
Yeah.
It makes good bad stories.
Okay, but yeah. Everyone loves telling a good, this time I got drunk story.
I've got plenty of good stories about other people being drunk. There you go. There's another reason I don't drink, because my friend that did drink got in a knife fight and ended up in my apartment at 2 in the morning. So
I'm sure that the people of HPR have awesome stories of things that happened when they had alcohol.
Yeah, and if they do, they should record them and send them in as an episode so I can listen to them.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'd listen to all of them.
Totally.
And I would connect with them. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I've been there. I've done that. Oh, yep. And you'd be like, this is stupid.
Never. Never me.
Ridiculous.
Okay, well, I think that's all we have to say.
It is.
Do you have anything you want to say in closing?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's the day after Christmas when we're recording this. I don't know when it will go out, but
I'm so excited 2020 is coming to an end.
Yes. If ever I was going to drink, it was going to be this year. But everybody have a good New Year's, New Year's Eve show if you make it, and we will see you later.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.